I want to ask you about other approved biosimilars, but also about the biosimilar for rituximab that wasn't approved. I was kind of curious what was going on there.
Yeah, well, certainly it was not on the Oncology Drug Review Committee. I've heard and listened to some of the discussion. I think the concerns, if my recollection was right, was going back to some differences in the molecular characterization and comparability of these. So it's kind of going back to that base of the pyramid of approval. The FDA was not totally satisfied that the biosimilar product was sufficiently highly similar. You know, it is a qualitative judgment at some level. And so whether they rightfully or wrongfully disapproved that, but, you know, basically they sent the company back to redo some of their production and try again. And obviously there are other rituximabs in the pipeline. You know, there's kind of summarized in our ASCO piece and in the New England Journal article this summer. But for each of these classes of agents, there are several companies trying to do this. And it all begins with pre-ODAC discussions, and these often extend over a year or two, with the agency to make sure that the data and trial design that they're planning to do meets their perception of the evidence that will be required. But the ultimate test comes when they present the results to the FDA. And again, the FDA has to be satisfied that potency, purity, and efficacy and safety are sufficiently equivalent to the reference product, or they'll send you back to try again.
I mean, I know I'm kind of naive about trying to look at this, and of course, rheumatoid arthritis is another issue with rituximab, but it looks like there's some pretty, I mean, there's a phase three trial in follicular lymphoma that, you know, to my eyes, looks pretty impressive. There's data in rheumatoid arthritis. So the issue wasn't the clinical data, it was more the physical data.
That's my understanding, and I agree with you. If you look at beyond oncology, particularly in the rheumatology space, there was pretty convincing data, and that was provided to the FDA, of course, and was part of their review. You know, I'm presuming they weren't ready to extrapolate from a non-cancer efficacy setting, maybe a slightly different mechanism of action to what it would be used for in the lymphoma space. It's a little hard to read the minds of the folks at the FDA with this. And, you know, in their defense, they're on a learning curve too with all of this. And I don't think they're trying to do disjustice to industry, but at the same time, they want to protect patients. All it's going to take is one EPO disaster in the biosimilar space to take us back 5 years in this whole field. It could just totally stall the development and integration of biosimilars. So if anything, I think they may be erring on the safety side. But in the long run, I think that's, you know, you have these used by oncologists or other physicians for other indications. I think that extra time and effort and diligence is very appropriate at this point in time. With time, we may get more relaxed, they may get more relaxed. But right now, if I was in industry or giving industry advice, I'd say more is better at this point. I know it's cost, and ultimately, we're hoping that we'll reduce costs. But the more convincing evidence you can provide to the FDA, the more likely you'll get it approved first go around, and also put that data out in the public space by whatever means necessary so that docs can see it and be comfortable using it.